to heart to know that when we gather, that your word says that you are here. And so, Lord, tonight we're expecting great things. Lord, we're expecting our hearts to be changed. We're expecting your presence to just enter into this place in a way, God, that only you can do. And so, Father, I pray that this night would bring strength and joy and peace and just a new understanding of just truly how good you are, Lord. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this might be a little bit different than normal Wednesday nights tonight. So just kind of bear with me a little bit. A couple of months ago, I got a hold of a very simple verse in the book of Luke when Jesus was speaking about communion. And as the Holy Spirit does with me on quite a few occasions, he takes that written word that's in that book and he kind of lights it up in my heart. And the Christianese term for that is he's taking the logos and turning it into rhema. He takes that written word and he lights it up in my heart. And it just begins to bring a new understanding to Scripture for me. I mean, it's just like I can be, you guys have all heard it. You read Scripture for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, like a new revelation will pop up, and you'll go, wow, that is so good. And so that's kind of where I've been baking in for the last couple of months on this very Scripture. So I believe tonight that it's going to, as it's marked me in my personal walk with Jesus very strongly over this last couple of months, I believe it's going to do the same for you when you leave here tonight. Okay, so here's the verse. It's in Luke 22, and it's verse 19. And I told you it's a very simple verse. Jesus said, "This is my body." He said he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And I started really contemplating that word remembrance. And just to kind of like put a little preface on this a little bit, this past weekend I had the honor of attending Dana's mother's memorial service here in the church. And as Dana does, and she always puts her special touch on it, she had her this podium area up here set up like her mother's front porch. And her brother and Dan and others sat down and they remembered Dana's mother. And I just got really blessed to hear the stories that came out of that remembrance of somebody who had such an impact on all the people that she came in contact with. And it was like these stories just began to come out of people about her mom. And that's what normally happens when you go to memorial services, because people that live lives that impact people, other people want to share that. Amen? So I want to paint a little bit of a picture for you tonight. You guys ready? In Christian, we call this, let's use your godly imagination. So are you guys ready for that? So imagine for a moment that you're sitting in the upper room getting ready to have Passover supper with Jesus and his disciples, and that you are part of Jesus's inner circle. I like it. Some of you have your eyes closed. That's good. That either you're sleeping or you're doing your imagination. So I want you to grab that picture that you're in the upper room and you're part of Jesus's inner circle. And you know what he has told you. You know, there was a few times coming up to that point where Jesus has told his disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem and that he was going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. So you know that he told his disciples that on multiple occasions. And you know, as Jesus begins to speak and he begins to say, "You're going to do this in remembrance of me," you have this vague understanding of what the bread and the wine represent, because he tells you this: "This is my body and this is my blood." And now imagine as you sit there and you realize your relationship with Jesus has been built on 3 years of intense ministry with him. Intense ministry with him. The word "remember" at this point begins to have a different meaning for each of them. Because at this point, the disciples can't remember what hasn't happened yet. He has not gone to the cross yet. If I'm sitting at the table with Jesus, I'm going to put myself in this position. If I'm sitting at the table with Jesus and he says, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me." And yes, we did take communion. And yes, the cross is the place where everything culminates, right? But at that moment, when I'm sitting in there, let's pretend I'm Peter. Okay? Peter's always the lucky guy that gets talked about. Seems like there's more stories about Peter and Jesus than any other guy. So let's imagine Peter sitting there at that communion table for a moment. And he says, he begins to have these thoughts about remembering Jesus. And he says, you know, I remember when Jesus called me to follow him. And he said that he said that I was going to become a fisher of men. I don't know if I knew what that meant, right? But I remember he said that. And I remember like when we were out in the storm and we got all afraid. And I remember when Jesus rose up and he kind of looked at us funny. That's my inflection there, right? He kind of looked at us funny and he spoke to the storm and he said, peace be still. So what they're doing, what Peter's doing right now is he's remembering his life with Jesus. And he said, what about the time that I jumped out of the boat when Jesus was walking on the water? Because I just had all this faith and I got out there and I started walking and I started sinking. And he said, Jesus reached down and grabbed me and he pulled me up. I remember that. And he, one of the more recent memories that he probably had of Jesus is when he was sitting in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked all the disciples, he said, you know, who do men say that I am? And Peter thought, I'll stand up and say, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And I remember Jesus, like, he was all, like, complimentary, you know, he goes, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Simon Barjona, and all this. And he commented, and then all of a sudden, he called me Satan. Right? I'm saying that to say this, is that, man, Peter had some, if Jesus would say, do this in remembrance of me, and you got to know that the cross was a huge thing, but it didn't stop at the cross. What these disciples were remembering was the things that Jesus did in their lives that impacted them so much. And what began to come out of these guys in these moments of remembrance is thanksgiving. What came out of these guys was gratitude. Because you can just sit there and see every interaction that they had with Jesus was powerful. Everything that had happened. So what about the other disciples? Koi, come up here a minute. You guys ready for Koi? I'm not. I really don't know what he's going to do. So this is kind of biblical improv. Can you do that, Pastor Ben? Can you do biblical improv? All right. I want you to pretend like you're John. Not John the Baptist, the dude that wrote all the books in the Bible, okay? Right? That guy. All right. Right? John the Baptist wrote no books in the Bible for you guys. So, okay. All right. By the way, John is from southern Israel. Some of you guys will get that when he starts talking. Okay? All right. Do you have any memories of when you talk about Jesus, what kind of things comes to your mind as far as remembrance?
Well, you were right when you said you was going to put me on the spot.
I did, didn't I?
Man.
Come on, you're John. Man.
I have Peter in mind.
No. I took the easy one. I'm going to hold the mic.
Oh, you will.
That's a pastoral trick.
Did John have blank times with Jesus where he couldn't think of anything?
Did he? Come on, man. I told him I was going to put him on the spot. Did you guys hear that?
Gosh, man, you really got me on the spot, Chuck.
Yeah.
So there was a time when they were going into.
You're John.
Yeah, I'm John. Okay. Yeah, I remember the time when we were going into a village and we were passing through Samaria, and Jesus asked us to go and prepare a place in there for him, and the people did not want him there, and I remembered, man, it really angered me, and so. We said, Jesus, do you want us to pray from heaven and rain down fire on them? And Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy, but to give life. Mm-hmm. I really remember that, really. It changed the way that I seen Jesus and his love for everybody.
Yeah. Give Koi a hand, right? Right? And he got a new nickname, right? It's called the Sons of Thunder after that, James and John, right? And that's good, Koi. That was actually the one I had on the top of my list on this one, right? What about Peter, James, and John witnessing the transfiguration, right? That at that moment, these guys, these disciples are sitting around and going, wow, I seen something that hardly, that only three people in this earth is ever seen, right? What about Matthew as the tax collector, right? When he was called by Jesus, he was hated by the Jews. Nobody liked him. But Jesus walked up to him and he said, follow me. And not only did he follow him, Jesus went and ate with him. And the Bible says he ate with some of his buddies too, because the Pharisees got mad because he ate with tax collectors, right? So Matthew began remembering that. And then what about Nathanael sitting under the tree? When Jesus walked up to him and surprised Nathanael, and he looked at Nathanael and he said, there's a man without deceit. So I'm trying to get you to picture these guys all sitting around the table trying to think about what Jesus had told them. And what about the time when Jesus cleared the temple? Imagine what the disciples were doing. It's like, whoa, right? I've never seen Jesus do this before. And what about the encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well? Or all of the healing and deliverances and the things that he did in front of them, the casting out of demons, the mute speaking, the blind eyes open, the hearing, all this stuff, like talking to a centurion and commending his faith and healing his children, and right, even with Peter's mom. There's so many stories. So many stories, so much so that at the book of John it said, and there are also so many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. 3 years of ministry on this earth, these guys are following him. And they're sitting at this table, and Jesus has already pronounced his death that's coming. And they're taking communion, and they say, do this in remembrance of me. This is what they remember. And it's a time of thankfulness. And you can understand in a minute why this is important. The last one I want to talk about that was probably sitting in the room was his mother Mary. And the memories that she had of even the conception, the life living in her. She sang a song of gratitude about carrying the Messiah. And so as these people are sitting there and they're taking the elements, they are remembering Jesus. You know, when Jesus was actually speaking in the upper room that day, he was clearly speaking about the death on the cross. And he was clearly speaking that the sacraments that they were to take were a testimony of his body and his blood. You know, the other day I was talking to David Robinson about this. I think it was Sunday morning. And one of the things that he said to me was, though, even though the disciples were told by Jesus that he was going to die, I don't know if they truly believed, and even if they did, there was no way they could imagine it would happen the way that it did. There's no way. You know, in Isaiah, the Bible says that Jesus was marred more than any man. He was so marred that you couldn't even recognize him. So the disciples did not have that picture, although they may have had the knowledge that Jesus was going to be crucified. They didn't have the picture. They didn't have anything at that point in remembrance. That would not come until after he was crucified and resurrected. Amen? You know, I wanted to share this with you as I go through. In Acts 2:42, it clearly taught that when the disciples gathered, that they gathered in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So when you read that scripture, we can look at fellowship and prayer, and we're pretty tight on that. Most people don't really understand what the apostles' doctrine is, and I've spoke this up here, and I think it just bears repeating time and time and time and time again. The apostles' doctrine became the apostles' doctrine because the disciples were the ones that walked with Jesus. They experienced life with Jesus, and so they were sharing that life with people, and those became the apostles' teaching on the life of Christ. And that became the center point in the home churches that were growing in Jerusalem and in Israel in that day. And it's kind of funny, the breaking of bread, you can as you begin to read down through Acts 2:46 and 47, you begin to see how impactful this was, this whole thing happening, because it said that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. There was a proclamation in those homes. Not only were they talking about Jesus, but they were proclaiming his death through the dinners they were having. Because Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he kind of rebukes them a little bit in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says, you guys ain't doing this right. You're coming into this way. You're coming into it this way. You're not doing it right. You have to give honor to the Lord's Supper. So there's strong indication that when these churches met in these regions, that one of the things that these churches did time in and time again was to have the Lord's Supper when they met, because it was a proclamation of what he did. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, it says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in the remembrance of me.' And in this same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as you do, drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now listen to this. This is an important part. "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You proclaim it. That's what communion is. It's a proclamation of the Lord's death. And I'm going to read something to you that came out of a Spirit-filled Bible that I have. It's part of the commentary, but I thought it was so appropriate for what I was sharing tonight. It said that in the ordinance, the Christian confesses before all of heaven that he not only has believed, but that he has not forgotten. In remembrance involves more than just a memory. The words suggest an active calling in mind. Communion is an acted sermon, for it proclaims the Lord's death. The outward act of faith, as the bread and cup is taken, is explicitly said to be an ongoing, active confession. Literally, you are proclaiming Christ. And then he says this. He said, "Each occasion is an opportunity to say and proclaim and confess again." Listen to this. "I herewith lay hold of all the benefit of Jesus Christ's full redemption for my life. The forgiveness, the wholeness, the strength, health, sufficiency. The Lord's Supper is not simply a ritual remembrance." God help us if we treat it like that. God help us if we treat it like that. It's special. "But an active confession by which you actively call to memory and appropriate today all that Jesus has provided and promised through his cross." So what he's saying here, now we're talking about promises through the cross. These are proclamations. So it's the things that you've lived with in Jesus, the recognition of what he did on the cross, and everything that he's promised in our lives now becomes front and center in the moment that we're taking communion with him. Can you see how special this is? Right? So, I want to share something with you. As I got this revelation a couple of months ago, I began taking communion every morning. As part of the time, my private time with Jesus, I go in my office, I close the door, I just have very minimal lights on, I'm listening to worship music, and I sit in there and I just pray. Now, this all started when Grace and I began going through a bit of a journey. Some of you know what that journey is. But it was a time that both of us could have got into a really worried state of mind, right? But God is good, amen? During that time, God was actually pulling me closer to him. He was drawing me to him. The Holy Spirit impressed upon me to do this communion. And during this time, listen to this, I began remembering all the things that God has done in my life during that communion. I took that scripture that says that when you do this in remembrance of me. I took that scripture and I began to own it. And as I sit there with my bread and my wine in front of me at 5:30 in the morning and I'm praying, I'm going back through my life. And I'm seeing Jesus in so many places. Just like Peter could go back and say, I saw Jesus here, I saw Jesus here, Jesus did this here, Jesus did this here. Those are the types of mornings that I began having and I'm still having with him. And unlike Peter, Jesus hasn't been physically with me, but his presence has been there. Amen? It has never left me. His word says that it's never going to leave me. And he's been so faithful. If you ask Jesus, he will bring back memories. So here's a couple that I want to share with you. He brought back to me an experience that I had. And I want you to listen because we're going to do communion tonight and we're all going to have an opportunity to do this. He brought back to me my salvation experience in 1993. And in that night, when I was alone in that bedroom by myself, Jesus left no doubt. From the moment I encountered him, I felt his love, I felt his mercy, and I felt his forgiveness. He saw me in my worst place and in my greatest moment of need, and he met me there. He showed me a reflection of myself and then reached into my heart. I broke down and I began to weep all by myself in that room with just me and my Bible and the presence of the Lord in there. And at that moment, I walked into my new life. And all the old things that I had had in my life, all the stuff that had built up began to pass away. And I received deliverance from habitual sin, and my heart was changed to its core. And I understood what it meant to become a new creation. That old things were passed away, and now I was a new creation. Man, that was just an amazing time for me. Grace came home to a new husband. Not literally. I mean, I was different. So, I make sure I explain that. There was times where God reassured me when I was going through periods of fear and anxiety. He stepped up and began to reassure me about things in my life. And he put an exclamation mark on this particular one that I'm going to share with you today. The exclamation that he put that mark on was like, hey, he had a guy sing prophetically over me at my encounter, and he said that you are my child and I have great things in store for you. And what I was worried about was being able to provide for my family as I retired out of the Navy. I was scared. I didn't know what I was going to do. God reassured me and eliminated that fear out of my life. So when I take communion, I remember that. There have been times that I remember that God's brought me into very deep intimacy with him. And there have been times that God has even brought to memory in my during these times where he has corrected me and caused my life to take a new direction. Just like he did with Peter when Peter got called Satan. Jesus never called me Satan, right? But just in those times, like where I really thought I was going in the right direction at one time, and I had laid out all this stuff, I had done all the work, I thought I had everything prepared to go into this program in the Navy, and all of a sudden something came up. It's a long testimony, and I got mad, and I can remember I was upset by the fact that I had been literally done wrong. But later on, God showed me that it was him that caused that to happen because I was going in the wrong direction, and he had to make the correction, right? He had to make the correction in my life. He's also made corrections in my life and when I've had attitudes and things in my life that didn't need to be there. For one, like times when I've had senses of entitlement in my life where I thought I was due something, Jesus just brought me to my knees. Why do you have that entitlement in your life? And he changed me. There have been times in my life as I pray through and do my communion at home where he's just been intense worship, and I felt like his presence was just engulfing me. And there's times where he's counseled me, and I've even gone back to the times before I ever got saved. And as I'm sitting there praying, I can remember one night God brought up the night that I first saw Grace. Both of us unsaved, didn't know Jesus, didn't know him at all, but yet he brought us together knowing that 40-some-odd years later, we were still going to be together, and we were still going to be doing what he wanted us to do, right? And so I sit there in front of that cup and that bread, and I find this time of thanksgiving. And listen, folks, thanksgiving, gratitude, for so many ways that Jesus has taken communion. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget all the testimonies. Don't forget all the things that I've done. Don't lose those memories. Cherish those memories, because those memories become the catalyst for faith for future events. And so as I sit there in front of that bread and I sit there in front of that wine, I weep. And I am just so grateful to God for what he's done in my life. Tonight, we're going to have an opportunity, and I just want to say this as I close. That was the fastest 30 minutes I've ever had. But I just want to say this as I close. We're going to go into communion tonight, but we're going to do communion a little different. You guys mind? So for those of you watching at home, this is the time to go get your elements, go get your juice, go get your bread, whatever it is, and just get ready, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to, in the house, we're going to worship to a song, and then I've got another song that comes on, and I'm going to want you guys to come up and get your communion elements up here on the table. We've got them on both sides, and I want you to spend time tonight during prayer with your elements in front of you, remembering what Christ has done for you in your life. Just remembering, taking this personal time with him to thank him for the things that he's done in your life. And you know, it just, if you're sitting here thinking, Chuck, I'm having a hard time remembering these things, pause and say, Lord, I'm listening. Just say, Lord, I'm listening. Get out of your own head and listen. Because that's what he's done with me. I've sat there and he's brought these things to my remembrance. I remember seeing my sons when they were born. Ian and Aaron, I remember seeing them. And I'm just like, wow, God, you did this, right? These are the kind of things I'm talking about. So when we get ready to go to communion tonight, this is what we're going to do. Is we're going to do that. When we're done with communion, we're going to worship a little bit. And then we're going to go pray into prayer, and we're going to have a time of corporate thanksgiving for him tonight. It is the Thanksgiving season, right? This is what we're going to do. We're going to have a time of corporate thanksgiving where you can come up here and get the microphone and just begin thanking God for whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your life. So I want to thank you for joining us online tonight. I hope you got something out of the message. I want to challenge all of you, both in here and at home. I just want to challenge you. When you do communion now, let it be the whole of what Jesus had ordained, what he has done for your life, what he did for your life at the cross, and all the promises that are laid out before us that we can repeat back to him to build faith in us. Can you guys receive that? Thank you so much for joining us online. We're getting ready to go to communion. Have a great evening.